Okay, Erev Tov, everybody. Welcome to our Parsha Shiur. Pleasure to see everybody. And pleasure to welcome back Rabbi Avinair, who I told him that he spoke on Parsha Bereishit. So I told him if you speak on Parsha Bereishit, you get Tazria, as it has to go along with it, because not so many people like to sign up. But I really want to thank you. Rabbi Avinair is the... He's working as a shaliach here now in his fourth year. I think next year, please God, will be his fifth year, which already tells you something. They want him to stay. Fifth year is in the Bnei Kiva schools, or Chaim and Opanaz, Director of Judaic Advancement and Israel Guidance. He got smicha through YU and the Chief Rabbin of Israel. He's also a musmach. He's a rabbi-ir, a special smicha. He learned in Eretz Chemda. And he has a bachelor of, he has a degree in applied physics and medical engineering from Machon Lev, and an MA in science and halacha from Bar Ilan University. And it's a pleasure to welcome him. And I guess most importantly, I don't know if I've said this before, anytime I've introduced you, he's the father of five beautiful young daughters. The oldest, please God, is having her bat mitzvah in the not too distant future. So God is hands full, and a pleasure to welcome him and to be a neighbor of his here in Toronto. Vakasha Rabbi Avinair.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Kelman. It's the only reason I really do this is for the introduction. So, all right, I'm going to share my screen if I can do that. There we go. Sorry, one second. I don't know why this is not showing.
You are co-host, so it should work.
Yeah, just the file wasn't there for some reason. Here we go. Okay. See my screen? Fantastic.
Yes. We see the screen. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So Parsha Tazria and the mitzvah of Brit Milah, circumcision, it's like deja vu all over again. As we know, Brit Milah first appears in the Torah by Avram Avinu. Source number one, Hashem says to Avram, "Ata et briti tishmor, ata v'zarecha acharecha l'doratam." You have to go ahead, you and all of your descendants should keep my brit. Zot briti, what is my brit? This is my covenant. Asher tishmoru b'ni u'b'neichem u'b'n zarecha, between me and you and your children and your children after you. Himod lachem kol zachar. We have the Brit Milah. The mitzvah of Brit Milah is given to Avram. Yet very oddly, it appears in our Sidra, in our Parsha. It appears again at the very beginning, mamash smack in the middle of we're talking about the dinim of the Yoledet, we have the mitzvah of Mila again. In source number two, as we have in this week's Parsha, Vayedaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Darel B'nei Yisrael Lemor, Isha Ki Tazria Ve'odah Zachar. When a woman goes ahead and she conceives and gives birth to a male child, the Tama Shivat Yamim, she becomes impure. Not really a good translation. She's Tmei'a for 7 days. Kimei Midat Dota Titma. She remains impure as a woman who's menstruating. Ubiyom Hashmini Yomul Basar Olato. And then on the eighth day, you should go ahead and circumcise the foreskin of this child. And then after this pasuk, the Torah goes on and it continues talking about the halachot of tumas leida, and she has to wait she has to wait until the 40th day, and then bring a karban chadas and a karban ola. Okay, so a couple questions on this. First of all, why the repeat of the mitzvah? We already have it by Avram. Why a repeat here? Question number two is really. Is this placed here in any type of context? It seems really out of place. It's other than the fact that we're talking about somebody who gave birth and there's a male child, so we have to go ahead and circumcise it. But you know, there's a lot of other stuff that needs to be done. You gotta take her to the hospital. You gotta go back. You gotta call the caterer. You got a lot of things you have to do. Why put it right here? And why put it right here in the middle of the tumah process or the tahara process of the yoledet? So both of those questions I hope to analyze with you today, why the repeat of the mitzvah, or rather the significance of the repeat of the mitzvah and the context in which it is repeated. Okay, so first of all, we know that it's not only Mila that we've had before. We got a whole slew of mitzvahs that were given way before Har Sinai. And for this, there's an important Rambam in source number three. This is the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah. Tovim Malachim Perek Tet Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam explains al shisha dvarim nitztava Adam Harishon. Six things Adam Harishon was commanded: al avodah zarah and idolatry, va'al birkat Hashem in terms of blessing, so to speak, of cursing God, v'al shpichas damim, murder, v'al gilui arayot, illicit relationships, v'al gezel on stealing, v'al hadinim in terms of establishing a system of justice. Or enforcing that system of justice. Apal pi shekulan hein kabbalah biyadenu mimoshe Rabbeinu. Even though all of these have been received, the tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, v'hadan notel lahen, we can go ahead and we can understand when the rational mitzvot, mikal devar Torah yeresha al elu nitzta'ava. You can go ahead and you can even learn them out from the psukim that they were commanded to Adam Harishon. And then Noach, all of a sudden, he gets the seventh mitzvah, or prohibition of Eivor Menachai, Shene'emar, Ach, Basar, V'nafsho, Damo, Lo, Tochelu. You cannot go ahead. You can eat meat, but you can't go ahead and eat Eivor Menachai. Nimsa Sheva mitzvah. So now we have seven mitzvahs that were given to B'nai Noach. V'chein haya ha'davar b'chol ha'olam ad Avram. Then we have that seven mitzvahs until Avram. Avram is now given an eighth mitzvah, that of circumcision. Yeah. Sorry, did I skip a line? And he davened shachris. He instituted tefillah. Yitzchak hifrish ma'aser v'hosif tefillah acheret not hayom. And Yitzchak went ahead in terms of Maser, and then he also instituted Mincha, Yaakov received Giranash, and then by the time of Yaakov, we now have the sciatic nerve that we're not allowed to eat, it Palel Arvit, and now we also have, in terms of the third tefillah of the day, Ubimitzrayim Mitzvah Amram, the Mitzvot Yeterot, and then we get to Egypt, and we get more and more Mitzvot, Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu, V'nishlama Torah Al Yado, until we get to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then we get the full 613, we get them all. So there's kind of almost a development of the mitzvos until we reach the 613 by Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have all these mitzvos before the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then we have the mitzvos after Moshe Rabbeinu. So what exactly is the relationship between them? And here we have another very important Rambam, in source number four. Here's the Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnayot. Perakulin Perak Zion Mishnah Vav. So Rambam calls this an Ikar Gadol, a fundamental principle that we really need to know. And he says as such, Misim Limcha al HaIkar HaGadol. Pay attention to this very, very important mitzvah. Or, principle. What's the Mishnah they're talking about? The Mishnah is talking about a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda Nachman, right? Rabbi Yehuda Nachman regarding Gid HaNasha. Whether it was commanded already at the time of Yaakov, or it was commanded after Har Sinai, and then it was just placed back, kind of edited in back into Bereishit. Not edited in terms of documentary hypothesis edited, but edited by God back into the text in its proper place. So based on that, so the Rambam goes ahead and he expounds on something much more fundamental. Ikar gadol hanechla b'mishnah zu, which is the fundamental principle which is expressed in this Mishnah. V'hu ma'asha amar, what is that? What the Mishnah says, Nisinai ne'esar. That the prohibitions that we have, and included in, along with that, are the mitzvahs that we have, they come from Sinai. V'fisha ata har'eta ledat, shekol ma'asha anu merchakim, o osim hayom, everything that we go ahead and we distance ourselves from, or we do today, the reason we do it is because Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the commandment. That which we don't eat, a limb from a living animal that was taken off from an animal while it's alive. It has nothing to do with the fact that Hashem said to Noah, hey Noah, you can't do this. Yeah, because Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, hey, Eivor Menachai, you can't do it. Oh, they weren't doing it before? Says the Rambam, yes, but now it's because it's come from Har Sinai. It's not the same thing. The mitzvos that of mitzvos b'nei Noach, Shavu mitzvos b'nei Noach, and everything seemingly that was with it between there and Har Sinai, we don't we don't do it for that reason. We do it because it was commanded at Har Sinai. The Rambam continues, V'chmo chen, ein anu malim, mipnei she'Avram Avinu alav ha'shalom mal atzmo va'an shevito. The reason we do milah is not because Avram Avinu, he circumcised himself and all of his household. Ela mipnei she'Kadosh Baruch Hu tziva utanu ayde Moshe Rabbeinu, shenimu kemoshe mal Avram Avinu alav ha'shalom. Rather, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu, or through Moshe Rabbeinu, that we should go ahead and circumcise ourselves, just like Avram Avinu did. But not that the command itself is coming from Avram Avinu. So too, with the sciatic nerve, not that which Yaakov and his children, whether they did or did not eat a Gidanasha at the time, but assuming, let's assume for a second that they did, for argument's sake. That's not why we don't do it. Ela mitzvot Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom. Halo te'eh masho amru tariyag mitzvos ne'amru. Lo, the Moshe Misinai, v'chol elu mechlal ha-mitzvot. 613 were given to Moshe at Har Sinai, not, 540, and then, fill in the rest with everything that was handed before, but 613, and that is why we do the mitzvot, because they were commanded at Moshe, not because they were given to Noah or Avram or Amram or any of them. Okay. So what's exactly is the connection between the mitzvot, the commandments that happened? Is there any connection between the commandments that happened before Har Sinai and that happened after Har Sinai? And here we have an incredibly interesting Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara deals with exactly this question. And it brings in the name of Rav Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina. Kol mitzvot shenemar lebnei Noach v'nishnit b'Sinai, anything that was commanded previously to Bnei Noach, or to, let's say Bnei Noach right now, it was given a second time at Har Sinai, it's now applies to both. Okay? Lebnei Noach velo nishnit b'Sinai. If it was given to Bnei Noach and not repeated at Sinai, LeYisrael Namra v'lo leBnei Noach. I guess if it wasn't given again at Sinai, so then who gets it? It goes to Yisrael, and now Bnei Noach are no longer obligated to it. Now the logic here seemingly is a little counterintuitive, right? If it was before and after, then it applies to both. So the Gemara, actually it's in the dot, dot, dot here, but I'll just say it outside what it says. The Gemara then argues that it really should be the opposite. If it was said again, right, I'll ask you, if it was said again, it was commanded before Har Sinai to Bnei Noach, and then Hashem repeats it at Har Sinai, who should it apply to? Throw it out to the crowd. Anyone can feel free to answer. I know I'm going against the rules here, but...
The Jews.
It would apply only to the Jews, right? Why? Otherwise, why would you repeat it to the Jews? It applied to everybody. So that the Gemara argues, one second, it's the opposite logic. If it was repeated at Har Sinai, so it sounds like it should now, God is saying, it only applies to the Jews and no longer applies to Bnei Noach. So why are you telling me that applies, if it's repeated, it applies to both? So the Gemara goes on, he says, you know what? You have a point, it's good logic, but I'll bring you proof that what we're saying is correct. Avodah Zarah is repeated to the Jews after Har Sinai, and it was also Bnei Noach, yet we know that Bnei Noach are still prohibited in Avodah Zarah, and so are we. So from the fact that you see it, this is, I guess, a prototype example, we learn from here, from Avodah Zarah, something that was given to Bnei Noach, and then afterwards repeated to the Jews, and it applies to both. So therefore, anything like that, which was given to the Bnei Noach before and to the Jews afterwards, applies to both the Jews and Bnei Noach. Next part of the Gemara. What about the opposite? If it was given to Bnei Noach and not repeated to the Jews, what would you think? Who should it apply to? For $500, who should it apply to?
Bnei Noach.
Bnei Noach, right? Why would I think otherwise? If given to Bnei Noach and not given to the Jews afterwards, makes perfect sense. So why does the Gemara say that if it was given to Bnei Noach and not given to Sinai afterwards, that it only applies to Yisrael and not Noach? So the Gemara says an incredible line. You can have a whole shiur just on this line. You can't have, it's inconceivable to have something that is prohibited for the non-Jews and it's permissible for the Jews. It just, it's inconceivable, right? For a whole nother shir, maybe, you know, what happens if such a thing could happen, that the morality of the world around us, of the secular world around us, reaches a level in which they look at the Jews and the Torah and they say, oh, it's not on par with morality, right? So do we have an obligation? Can we have such a state? Or do we not have an obligation even to raise our morality to that of the world around us? That is a question worthy of a whole series. Rabbi Kelman, I'm throwing it to you. You can go ahead and arrange a series with somebody else giving it than me. In any case, so we say because we can't have such a situation like that, so if it was given to Bnei Noach and not given to the Jews afterwards, it only applies to Israel. I'll give you an example. The Gemara, I think in Yevamos, talks about, let's say you have a person who converts, he converts, and then let's say his sister converts, right? Him and his sister convert. Him and his mother convert. Okay, so they're katan shenolad dami. They really are, both of them are considered like new people. They have absolutely no relationship to anybody, as now that they're new Jews, newborn Jews, they have no relationship to anybody that was they related to before, not their mother, not their sister, not their father. So theoretically, says the Gemara, they can marry each other. They can have a son marry his mother because they're not really related anymore. So the Gemara says that's just ridiculous. You can't have something that was prohibited when a guy was a goy and all of a sudden he became a Jew, converted, and now it's permissible. Beforehand, while he was a non-Jew, he couldn't go ahead and marry his mother and have relations with his mother. And now he converts and it's allowed. So the Gemara says can't be such a thing. All right. Anyways, let's go on. Why is this relevant? Because the Gemara goes on and it questions if this is really true, right? And for our sake, the Gemara continues here after the two dots that we just filled in. V'hare mila shenemra lebnei Noach. Bnei Noach were given mila. When were Bnei Noach given mila? The reason I'm asking it, even though it's obvious, is because I want you to just contemplate that line. Bnei Noach were given mila. Techtiv v'ata et briti tishmor. Who was given brit mila? Avram. And the Gemara calls Avram, is referring to Avram as Bnei Noach.
But Ishmael was also circumcised.
Ishmael was also circumcised. Excellent, right? Ishmael is not just given to Avram, it's given to Avram and his children. That's actually the continuation of the Gemara, which I wasn't going to get into, but since you mentioned it, I'll mention it as well. But number one, that it refers to Avram as Bnei Noach. It doesn't refer to him as the first Jew. It refers to him as Bnei Noach, which is interesting. The Gemara seems to be taking a stance here. The general machloket rishonim of how do we view the avot, for the sake of this shir, based on this Gemara, we're going to refer to them as Bnei Noach. Okay. V'nishnah at B'Sinai, and it was repeated again at Har Sinai, u'biyom ha'shmini yimol, l'Yisrael nemra v'lo Bnei Noach. Right, so according to the rules of the law, of the Gemara, if it was repeated, if it was given to Bnei Noach and repeated at Har Sinai, so who does it go to? Who should it go to? Who should the mitzvah belong to or apply to? Should apply to Yisrael and Bnei Noach. But says the Gemara, the Yisrael never belong to Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach are not obligated in the mitzvah of Mila. Only Am Yisrael are. So doesn't that go against the rules of the Gemara? Put Avram's children aside. That's the Gemara gets into that later on. So that's the issue with the Gemara. And the Gemara answers, Ahu the Mishrei Shabbat Hu Da'ata. V'yom Afilu B'Shabbat. So the Gemara says, no. V'yom Hashmini Yimul, in our Parsha, in Parsha Tazria, it's not coming and giving a tzivu, it's not coming and giving a commandment and saying, hey, you have to go ahead and do Mila. Rather, it's giving a heter. It's saying what? You can and you should on the eighth day do the Mila, even in the case where it falls out on Shabbat. And this is where the Gemara learns out the heter of that Mila, the mitzvah of circumcision, pushes off Shabbat. And that's why we have circumcisions on Shabbat, even though there's, not theoretically, practically, there are malachot involved in doing the Mila. And the Gemara says, that's fine. How do I know? On Yom HaShmini, afilu b'Shabbat, you can even do it on Shabbat. So at this stage in the Gemara, where's the mitzvah of Mila? When was Mila given? How do I know the mitzvah of Mila? It was given to Avram. right? And it was not given a second time to Am Yisrael, and therefore, since it was given to Bnei Noach and not repeated at Sinai, it only applies to the Jews and not to the rest of the world, Bnei Ketorah, the rest of his children, on the side for now. Okay, so that's answer number one of the Gemara. Then the Gemara goes on and says, Ibayis Ema, if you want to say, I'll give you a totally different answer. Mila mi'ikar la'avram hudaka mizahir le'rachmana v'ata et briti tishmor ata v'zarecha acharecha l'dorotam ata v'zarecha in inish achrina lo. So Gemara says, Avram was commanded in Mila, but not as Bnei Noach. And it wasn't something that was given to all of Bnei Noach. It was only given to Avram and his children, but not Avram's cousin or Avram's neighbor or the rest of Bnei Noach. And so therefore, this is not considered, the commandment to Avram of Mila is not considered as a Mila, as a tziboy that was given to Bnei Noach. And therefore, where's the tziboy that we have? What's the only tziboy that we have? Ubiyom Hashmini.
From Moshe Rabbeinu.
From Moshe Rabbeinu, exactly. From this week's parsha, Ubiyom Hashmini. So with it, I see the Gemara is that there's two answers, right? Whether saying that we have the issue of, it seems like we have the commandment giving it to Bnei Noach, to Avram, and after Har Sinai, in this week's parsha, in Parsha Tazria, Ubiyom Hashmini. So if that's true, it should apply to both Bnei Noach and Yisrael, and we know that's not true. It only applies to Yisrael. So the Gemara's first answer is it was Biyom Hashmini. This week's parsha is not a repeat of the commandment. It's just giving you a heter that you could do it on Shabbat. So the real command is not Biyom Hashmini. It's from prior to Sinai. It's to Avram. The second answer is no. What was given to Avram we wouldn't consider that a mitzvah to Bnei Noach. That's given just to Avram and his children. The real mitzvah comes from Ubiyom Hashmini. It comes from this week's parsha. Okay, so either which way you go, Bnei Noach are not obligated in the mitzvah of Mila, and Bnei Avra and Am Yisrael are. Just because it was mentioned about Avram's kids, so there is an incredibly interesting machloket Rishonim in terms of which kids of Avram and for how long did it continue. Rashi on this Gemara says that the mitzvah of Mila that Avram was given to his children. The Gemara says it applies to Bnei Ketorah of all of Ketorah's children. The Rashi says only for those six, and it stopped then. It doesn't go on to the generations afterwards. That's Rashi. There's another opinion. It was the Rush. Sorry, the Rush. I think it's the Rush. The Rush says that it does go on from generation to generation, but only until Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, Bnei Ketorah are no longer obligated in Mila. The Rambam comes along and he says, no, Bnei Ketorah are still obligated in Mila. Not only that, Bnei Ishmael are all mixed in with Bnei Ketorah, and therefore, basically, all Arabs, according to the Rambam, are obligated in Mila. And that's an interesting, it's not just a theoretical machloket, it's actually a practical machloket because it's prohibited for a Jew to give a non-Jew circumcision. But the Rambam says that you can give an Arab a circumcision because you can assume that they are of Bnei Ketorah. Interesting machloket for another time. Okay, so we have these two options: whether the mitzvah is really the command comes from Avram, or it comes from our parsha Ubiyom HaShmini. Okay. Based on what the Rambam wrote here, that we only do mitzvot because we're commanded at Har Sinai. So I would think that any time we bring up this mitzvah, we should bring up a source as Ubiyom HaShmini. And the truth is, the Yerushalmi does just this. The Yerushalmi, the Mishnah in Kedushin that talks about all the mitzvot that a father is obligated to his son, and all the mitzvot that the son is obligated to his father. And the Gemara explains that what is a mitzvah of al haben, that is on the father for the son. So the Gemara explains that this is the mitzvah of Mila. Mitzvah sha'av chayav la'asot lebeno, any mitzvah that the father is obligated to the son. For example, Mila to do Pidyon HaBen, to redeem him, to teach him Torah, to teach him some type of profession, to get him married. And then the Gemara says, well, how do I know that the obligation for Mila is specifically on the father as opposed and to the exclusion of other people, perhaps to the mother, perhaps for anybody else who gets first dibs? So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, that's the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Lemholo, to go ahead and circumcise them. How do I know that? And the Gemara brings a pasuk, our pasuk, Ubiyom HaShmini Yom HaBasar Alato. On the eighth day, you have to go ahead and circumcise his flesh. So Kafta B'Ferach is beautiful. The Gemara Yerushalmi brings from our parsha. But things get a little messy when you look at the Bavli. The Bavli, Maseches Kedushin Chavtet, says, Lemolo Minalan, how do I know to do the Mila? How do I know that's on the father? And it goes ahead and the Gemara brings from Avram Avinu. So, you know, what do we do with that? Which is it? So these the Yerushalmi and the Bavli seem to line up with the two answers of the relationship between them. Is it from Avram or is it from Sinai? But things get really sticky if we focus in just how the Rambam brings down the mitzvah. Because he brings it down and he brings down the source for it differently in different places. The Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvot. I think I myself even said it in this forum before. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, he wrote almost as a preparatory stage in the writing of the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah was supposed to be his great halachic work that's going to go ahead and codify all of Jewish law, all biblical law, all rabbinic law, and explain it categorically and fundamentally. But if you want to go ahead and write a book about all Jewish law and all the halachot, all the mitzvot, so you have to know what the mitzvot are. So the Rambam therefore wrote the Sefer HaMitzvot, and he listed for you, well, what are the 613 mitzvot? And so in Mitzvot Aseh, Reish Tavav, in Reish Tavav 215, so the Rambam brings down the mitzvah and he says like this, He should tzivanu lemul et haben, Mitzvah 215 is to go ahead and circumcise a son, v'hu amro yitalel la'avram, Hamulachem kol zachar. How do we know you have a mitzvah to go ahead and circumcise your son? Because of Hashem said to Avram, not only that the mila itself we learn from Avram, but the fact that the son is chayav kare, mishim vatel mitzvah zu, also from Avram. So that's in the Sefer HaMitzvah. Things become complicated when you look at the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah, even at the very beginning, the Rambam gives another minyan ha-mitzvot. He goes ahead and he recounts all of the mitzvot, a lot shorter than he does in Sefer HaMitzvot. And there the Rambam writes, L'mul et ha-ben, sh'nemar, b'yom ha-shmini, yimul basar alato. Here the Rambam does a 180. And all of a sudden he brings, from our parsha, a proof. So what's going on with the Rambam? There's a split here. What exactly is the connection or the correlation between them? So that's the question. We're trying to understand the relationship between the tzivui that was given to Avram versus the tzivui that was given at Har Sinai, and what fundamentally is the primary source for us. But it needs to be stated that the Mila of Avram, and we'll see this in the Gemara, was not the same Mila that we do nowadays. Avram had a different Mila altogether. There are two parts of the Mila. There's the Mila itself, which is referred to in Allah as the Chituk, which is they pull the foreskin over the crown and they cut off the top of the foreskin. That's what Avram did. Avram only had the Chituk, he only had the Mila. Later generations, we'll see from the Gemara, only in the time of Yeshua, when he entered the land, so then there was a second part of the mitzvah that was fulfilled, and that's not the mila and the chituch, but that's the priya. That there was another membrane of skin that was underneath that first layer of orla, and that after cutting off the foreskin, so that membrane needs to be split open and folded over the limb. Okay, so there's the mila and then there's the priya. The mila is cutting off the foreskin, and the priya is making a little cut and bending the leftover membrane over the aver. So Avram only had the first part. He only had Mili, he only had Chitoch. In Sefer Yeshua, as they're entering the land in source number 10, Be'etahi Amar Hashem al Yeshua, Asei lecha charavot zulim v'shuv mol et b'nei Yisrael shinit. When Yeshua was now entering the land, so Hashem says, make flint knives, make sharp knives, and go ahead. And I want you to circumcise everybody a second time. Go ahead and circumcise them again. As they're entering the land, 40 years in the desert, now they're entering the land. So based on this pasuk, the Gemara learns out the following, what we basically already said, but let's read it inside. Amar Rava Bar Yitzchak, this is the Gemara in Yevamo, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Bet. Amar Rava Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav. Lo nitna priya mila la'avram avinu. This second aspect of the mila, of the folding over of the membrane, wasn't given to Avram. Shenemar ba'etahi amar Hashem al Yeshua aseh lachach ravot zurim. Our pasuk itself. Right? So the fact that Yeshua is being commanded, hey, pick up these sharp stones and go ahead and do this another mila. Why did they have to do another mila? Didn't they already have a mila before? So the Gemara says, well, one second. How do you know it's the people that already had a mila that you have to now go ahead and do another mila? Meaning you have to now do the second aspect of the mila, the priya, the bending, the folding over of the membrane. Dilma chanach delomaho. Dechtiv, kimolim ayu, kol ha'am ha'yotzim, v'chol ha'am ha'yolodim, k'tim v'shul ha'pasuk, is b'midbar, b'derech, b'yitzitam, b'mitzrayim, lomalu. The pasuk says that the children in the desert, they never had mila, because of the wind, or because of the danger, whatever the case was, there was a substantial amount of Am Yisrael who were entering the nation, entering the land now, who just never had any mila. They didn't even have the first part of the mila, the chitoch, that the Gemara argues that only Avram Avinu had. So the Gemara says, no, you can't be talking about that. In Cain, my shuv, what is this? Go ahead and do it again. El alav, alav the priya, it must be talking about folding the membrane. So my shnit, what's this? What means, so you should do it a second time? Lakshu yisof mila, matchilet mila, matchilet mila, ma'akevet, afsof mila, ma'akvinbo. So the Gemara basically ends up saying like this. The conclusion of the Gemara is as follows. Avram was given the chituch, the mila, the first part of the mila, and only at the time of Yeshua were they given, or even at the time Moshe Rabbeinu, but they only fulfilled it at the time of Yeshua and entered the land, the second aspect of Mila, the Priya. And the Gemara explains that this second aspect of Mila, the Priya, is fundamental. It's Ma'akib. It holds back. If somebody doesn't do the Priya, so they're not Yotzi the Mila. The Gemara says, Ma'a v'lo para is nothing. It doesn't count as Mila. So now we're even in a bigger pickle. Because if you want to say that the Mila that we do nowadays, the commandment comes from Avram Avinu, we keep on bringing that as a pasuk, that wasn't even the Mila that we do nowadays. Avram had a totally different Mila. He only had the Mila. If we went ahead, and if Avram, forget Eliyahu and Avi, Avram Avinu comes to your bris, okay? He comes in and he said, oh, Avram Avinu, you had Moshele the Moel of Yerushalayim, let's say, if you result of having him at your bris. So you say, Moshe, move aside. I want Avram to do it. I can't believe Avram Avinu is here. Avram, you give Avram the knife, and Avram goes ahead and does the mila. The way that Avram knows. The way that Avram did it to himself. Well, he did a tapas don bris. But the way that Avram did it to his kids. Right? So you'd say, Avram, one second. This isn't a kosher mila. Where's the priya? He'd be like, priya what? What's that? Right? Avram wasn't given a priya. So how could we say that the mila that we were commanded even comes from Avram Avinu if it's not the same mila at all? Okay. So let's try that now we're really in a pickle. Let's try to answer this up now. I saw a beautiful piece from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I don't read a lot of the Kutei Sichot of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but somebody directed me to this and it was very nice. It was very nice. It was very grounded. It was very long and it had a lot of lovely stuff to say. So here you have for the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe makes the following arguments. He asks the question about the Rambam. He says, why does the Rambam switch off? In Minyan HaMitzvot, let's go back. In Minyan HaMitzvot, in Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam brings from the pasuk from Avram Avinu, Hamul Lachem Kol Zachar. In Minyan HaMitzvot of the Mishnah Torah, which is Hazlachic Sefer, Ubiyom HaShmini Yomo Basar Al Tohi, brings from Parshat Tazria. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe makes the following argument. He says, you have to understand the difference, the distinction between the book of Sefer HaMitzvah, the Rambam's book of commandments, versus the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah is a halachic work, it's an extensive halachic work. It's probably the most important halachic work we have post-Talmud. Not probably. It is the most important halachic work we have post-Talmud. Sefer HaMitzvot argues the Lubavitcher Rebbe is not inherently a halachic work. It's more, it deals with halacha. I mean, it brings down the mitzvot. But when he brings a source for a mitzvah and Sefer HaMitzvot, it's not to tell you the halachic source for it. It's not to tell you the reason that it's given. Rather, it's to tell you the essence of the mitzvah. So therefore, in Sefer HaMitzvot, when he's telling you about the essence of the mitzvah, what is the essence of Mila? To circumcise your son? What is the essence? So he brings a pasuk from, Avram Avinu. That the essence of Mila, even if Avram's Mila wasn't the same Mila as ours, nonetheless, it's the essence of it is the same. The brit that Hashem, that Avram did with Hashem, that made with Hashem through the Mila, that's the brit that we're doing. Right? The truth is, you can even medayik this a little bit in the Rambam. Here, back in the Paris of Mishnah, the Rambam says, we don't do Mila, we don't circumcise our kids because Avram did it to himself or his household. Rather, because Hashem did it, commanded us through Moshe Rabbeinu that we should circumcise ourselves. And then he adds on, Kimoshimal Avram Avinu Alava Shalom. We have to circumcise ourselves. How should we have to circumcise ourselves? As Avram Avinu did it. Now, it doesn't mean as Avram did it in terms of the technically, how did he do it? Because as we said, Avram didn't do it technically how we did it. So what does he mean, Kamoshamal Avram Avinu? It means what the Mila is all about. It's about the covenant. We're not just doing an action, but every time somebody goes ahead and goes through the circumcision, he's reenacting the covenant that Avram Avinu went ahead and did. Okay, so the heart of the mitzvah comes from Avram Avinu, even though the tzivoy, the commandment itself, or obligation to do it, comes from post-Sinai, and that's why when Rambam is writing his book about Halacha, his Mishnah Torah, he brings the pasuk from our parasha, Biyom HaShmini, that's where the Rambam learns the obligation. That's the Lubavitcher Rebbe's explanation. Very beautiful. A couple questions on it, though. First of all, I don't know if it's true. You'd have to really, have to do a real research on this. You'd have to go through all the times that the Rambam brings a other psukim and see if it really follows through. That's problem number one, or my question number one on him. My question number two is that in the Mishnah Torah, it's true in his Minoy HaMitzvah, when he counts the mitzvot, he brings from Biyom HaShmini, he brings from our parsha post Har Sinai. But when he actually talks about the halachot, and he talks about the Isser Karet, so he relates it back to Avram, because that's the pasuk. The pasuk by Avram Avinu actually says Karet. V'nichrata ha-nefesh, this is back in Bereshi, v'nichrata ha-nefesh ahi, ma'amah et b'ti hefer. Anybody who goes ahead and cast aside my covenant, he has Karet. So I don't know how the Lubavitcher Rebbe would deal with that. It's a question. Anybody's welcome to answer or write to me later if they think of an answer. That's Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay. I want to suggest another possible answer of what's going on here. We're making this line of like there's pre-Har Sinai and post-Har Sinai, right? And the two shall never meet. There are mitzvahs that were commanded before, the mitzvahs commanded afterwards. But perhaps that's not exactly what's going on, even with all the mitzvot. But perhaps it's not. B'nei Noach and Am Yisrael, but there is some type of evolution and progression where we go from being B'nei Noach, B'nei Avram, B'nei Yitzchak, B'nei Yaakov, and slowly transform into becoming the nation of Am Yisrael. And even as we become the nation of Am Yisrael, our relationship to the mitzvah, to Hashem, keeps on evolving until it climaxes and reaches its fullest later on in history, which we'll talk about those points as we go further. And I'll say, where am I getting this from? Why would I say such a thing? So the Gemara in Horiot and Daf Chet has a discussion about what the first mitzvah that was given to Am Yisrael was. Why it's having that discussion is not really relevant for us. But it says, oh, you know what the first mitzvah that was given, you know, straight from Moshe. So the Gemara says that it was the commandment against Avodah Zarah from the Aseret HaDibrot. But then the Gemara says, I don't have the Gemara, I'll just say it outside. The Gemara says, wait, one second. The first mitzvahs that we got were from the tablets, from Mamad Har Sinai, from the Aseret HaDibrot. V'ha Amar Ma Asa Eser Mitzvah Nitzvim B'Mara. We were given, the Gemara brings an opinion that we were given 10 mitzvot at Mara. We know that we were given Shabbat and possibly other mitzvot, so the Gemara counts 10. The number is irrelevant for right now, but the Gemara suggests, one second, how could you say the first mitzvot that were given to Am Yisrael were given at Har Sinai? What about Mara? We were given at Mara. So Tosfot is bothered by this. Tosfot says, why are you going to Mara? I can go back even further. I could go back all the way to who? Avram Avinu. Right? Why does the Gemara ask from Mara? We can go ahead and ask from Avram Avinu. Baha, and Tosos therefore suggests an answer. Ha, the lo mighty mahani dechtiv behelya. Why are you asking? You think, why are you asking from, oh, the Gemara brings that we had mitzvot that were given at Mara? We have mitzvot that were given explicitly in the text before Har Sinai. Kigon milo da Avram Avinu. We got a whole, not just one, but we got a whole few psukim about Mila da Avram Avinu. Why are you telling me about Mara? Yishvichas damim, lechtiv shofech dam ha'adam, megilu arayos, all these other mitzvahs that give it to Bnei Noach, which we had explicit psukim to. Why is that not brought? So Tosfot explains, Mishum dehacha nitzdavi Yisrael, v'hadam Bnei Noach. There it was given to Bnei Noach. So the fact that, you know, that we're going to call Avram Bnei Noach, I don't need Tosfos for that. We already saw the Gemara calls Avram Bnei Noach. That's not what interests me here. But when is he saying Hacha Nitzavu Yisrael? Where's Hacha? Here we were commanded as Yisrael. Where's here? Here is Mara. Here is Mara. And that's radical. Because this is Mara is before Har Sinai. Right? Which means Tosfos is seeing this as some type of progression. Har Sinai wasn't the beginning and end all of us becoming a nation and accepting the mitzvah. We became a nation before Har Sinai, at least according to Tosfot, before at Mara, if not before, and mitzvot were given then as well. So we're seeing some type of progression, of an evolution of us accepting the mitzvah. It wasn't a beginning and end all deal at Har Sinai. This also, we can be medayik this in the Rambam itself. We'll go back. The Rambam talks about the toldos of the mitzvot, and he says in source number 3, in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Tet Halacha Aleph, which we read before, that 6 mitzvot were given to Adam HaRishon, and then a 7th was given to Noach in terms of Eber Melechai, and then Avram was given Mila. And then Avram went ahead himself, and he was mitakin Shacharis and Yitzhak, Maser, and Mincha, etc., etc. He ends off saying, "Ad sheba Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlama Torah al yado." Until Moshe comes along, and not he gives us all of them again. He completes it, meaning everything that happened before it wasn't for naught. It wasn't nothing. It's inherently part of the evolution of the mitzvah. Right? So maybe the reason that we do it is not because of Avram the commandment, but that's where the seed was planted for the mitzvah that we're going to get after Har Sinai. It's an evolution of all of the Taryag mitzvahs, all of the 613 mitzvahs, starting from Bnei Noach. As those mitzvahs evolve and we evolve with them, the mitzvahs evolve and we as a nation, as a family, as a tribe, and then as a nation until we get to Har Sinai, and then we have the 613. We see this even through Mila itself. Why? We mentioned that there were two parts to the Mila. There's the Chituch, there's what's called the Mila, the Chituch, the cutting off of the foreskin. That's part number one that only Avram had. And then what we have, the folding of the membrane over the Aver. So we know the Gemara says that ma v'lo para is nothing. If you do one without the other, it's not considered a mila. So here's an interesting question. What happens, let's say you have somebody who's converted, okay? Let's say he's converted. So in order to, so the whole conversion process, the person has to do, the way we do nowadays, is that there's Kabbalah, HaMitzvah, somebody accepts upon himself all the yoke of heaven. Then he goes ahead. If he's a male, if it's a female, they just do tefillah, and then they're good. If it's a male, so the male, you have to go ahead and you do Kabbalah HaMitzvot, accepting upon yourself all the mitzvot. Then we do the Mila. Then he has to wait until he heals. And then he does tefillah immersion in the mikvah along with another Kabbalah HaMitzvot. Now, sometimes this process can take a long time, right? That you have to heal from the circumcision before you go ahead into the mikvah. Why don't we go ahead and reverse the order? Wouldn't it be a lot faster? Do the mila, come out while you're still dressed. You know, we've already got half the process. He's already not dressed. You can go ahead and do the mila on his way out of the mikvah. He can even still have his hair wet. So why don't we do that? So the Gemara and the Rishonim explain that we don't want a guy to be like in the middle here. We don't want this in between process or status where a guy goes to the mikvah. He says, "Yeah, I'm all Shabbos. Sounds so great. I'm cholent. I love it. Let's go. I'm ready to be a Jew." He jumps in the mikvah, and then we say, "Okay, lie down on the table. We're gonna do the circumcision." He goes, "Whoa, I didn't sign up for this." And then he backs out in the middle of the process. So the assumption is once he does the mila, to go ahead and do the tefillah afterwards is not a big deal. He'll be happy to do that. The only problem is that there's in-between status. So here's the question. This is the Binyan Sion raises this question, and it's been dealt with. Let's say you have somebody, this happened. This happened in 1847, the Binyan Sion. The Oral Chaner of Yaakov Ellinger was a rabbi in Germany. So he deals with a case that happened in Yerushalayim in 1847. That you had a non-Jew who was converting, who was going to be, who was a ger, and he accepts the mitzvos, and he goes ahead and he does the mila, and lo and behold, it's taking too long, it's taking a while for the for him to heal, and now it's Shabbat. So what does he do? It's a problem. A goy that keeps Shabbat is chayv mita. He's not allowed to keep a Shabbat. Shabbat is for the Jews, not for the non-Jews. So the question is, can or should the non-Jew keep Shabbat, or perhaps it's prohibited for him to keep the Shabbat and be chayv mita? So much has been written on these type of cases, but to cut it short, the Beit Din in Yerushalayim said he has to, he's chayiv to go ahead and desecrate Shabbat. He's chayiv to desecrate Shabbat. The Binyan Sion wasn't so thrilled about this, and he said, why? Why is that? Why do you say that he's a chayiv? It's true that he's not a Jew all the way, but he's not a non-Jew. He's kind of in this like middle status. And he brings proof from the fact that we kept Shabbat. When was our first Shabbat that we kept, according to many? At Mara. We were given Shabbat to some extent at Mara, and we kept Shabbat. If we were considered non-Jews, then it's Rabbi Chayiv Mita. So says the Binyan Sion, you see proof that you don't need to be a full-fledged Jew to keep the Shabbat. You have to just be in the middle of the process. So this is what many poskim coin as Yatza Bechlal, Yatza Mechlal Akum, Yatza Mechlal Torah's Akum, Velo Nichnas Lechlal Kedushas Yisrael. Somebody can go ahead and they can leave the status of being a non-Jew, but they haven't yet entered into the holiness, the status of being a Jew. They're in this like this in-between period, which in a sense is almost, you can say the same thing to perhaps of this amila, the mila of the lo para, and you don't do the folding of the membrane. So it's kind of, you know, Avram was entering into this process, but he didn't yet enter into Kedushas Yisrael in terms of us becoming a nation. So when did this process end? If the mitzvot in general kind of had an evolution, and our relationship to the mitzvot to Hashem had an evolution through time, as we got more and more? When did the process come to a climax and we say, okay, now we've reached it? What would you guys say? For $500. Okay, so some might argue Har Sinai, but I would argue no. I would argue when Yeshua enters the land. But when Yeshua enters the land, what's going on? That's when Hashem says, okay, I want you to do Priya. I want you to do this next part of the Brit because you're entering the land. The Tur, the son of the Rosh, the Tur, right, in his introduction to Hilchot Mila, he says something interesting. The Mishnah in Nedarim, in the third parak, so it brings all these wonderful things, all these wonderful statements about Mila, that the 13 covenants were written on it, and that Avram wasn't considered Shalem until he had the Mila. So the Tur adds one of them. He says, Mitzvah aseh l'chol adam miYisrael shimoled b'no, v'gdolei hi shar mitzvah. Mitzvah is to go ahead and circumcise a sign. It's a great mitzvah, tremendous mitzvah. A mitzvah aseh, sheyesh b'tzad karis. First of all, it's incredibly stringent, the fact that it has a tzad karis. It's one of two positive mitzvahs that a person doesn't do. So the chayav karis, the other one being karban pesach. The gam nichata ale yud gimel brito, 13 covenants were written on it, the parshat mila, velo nikra avram shalem ad shenimol. Avram wasn't complete until he does it. And then the Torah himself adds on, ubizchuta nichata lo brit al netinat haaretz. On the mila itself, that was the covenant that we were given with the land. When Avram Avinu was told about brit mila, it says there, and I'm going to give the land to your children. So at this point, when Yeshua is entering the land, this is where it comes full circle. This is where we're not just, we went through Bnei Noach, we went through Avram getting Mila, we went through Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov adding on, you know, all of the tefillah, we went through the Mara and all of the mitzvahs that were given before Har Sinai. We went through Har Sinai and we got all the mitzvahs, but the covenant isn't complete yet. It's when is it gone complete? When Yeshua, 40 years later, enters the land. At this point, Mila is done in its completion, there's the Priya, and we enter the land, v'nechata lo brit al netina ta'aretz. There's a completion. There's a full circle that happens here. So to summarize, I'll stop sharing screen. How do I stop sharing screen? I can't do it. Okay. To summarize, the source of Mila, our obligation, for sure comes with Yom HaShmini, from this week's Parsha. But it's planted, its roots start with Avraham Avinu. It starts with Avraham Avinu and it goes through this whole evolution until it gets to us. And I just want to wrap it up with one last question that we start off with. What in the world is Mila doing here? I get it, it has to come with Har Sinai. It has to be after Har Sinai, we have to get it again. But why in the middle of the whole story of Tumas Leda, and a smack in the middle of it. So perhaps it actually fits in beautifully. Why? The woman who gives birth, so there's a double process here, right? First, she's tameh for 7 days, right? After she finishes this tumah of 7 days, so now she becomes tahar. Now it's tahar. It's pure blood. But she's still in this like quasi state. She can't yet enter the Mikdash. Right? She can be with her husband. She can't yet enter the Mikdash until day 40, where she brings her karban. And it's at that point, at this in-between point, where she's finished her day 7, but she hasn't yet reached day 40. She's kind of is like in-between impurity. The Torah said, "Ubiyom Hashmini yomo basar alato." Now, this is where we're given the mitzvah of Mila, not just the mitzvah of Mila, but we're given the mitzvah of Priya, the second aspect of it, because just like the woman is going through this process, this evolutionary process of becoming of Tahora, then it's day 7, and then it's day 40, and then it's the Karbanah that goes through the process. So Mila's stuck in the middle to tell you that's the exact same thing that's happening with Mila as well. It's also an evolutionary process. We're also getting there. Perhaps that's why it's going here as well. Okay, I have 55 minutes. We have 5 minutes for any questions, if there are any questions. Are we coming? I don't know how to stop share screen. It's not...
There should be on the top, you should have an option there that says, you know, stop sharing or something like that. You see it?
should, but can you just not make me host anymore?
I don't think, no, I think even if I don't make you host, I still think you'll, you know, I don't know how to unshare you.
Okay, so we'll just not.
Let me see. No, see,
I. Yeah. Sorry. It was on my other screen. I have double screen here.
There you go. Okay, any questions? Okay. I mean, it's, I guess the question is, what's the nafka mina in all this, in a certain sense? In other words, no, I mean, you know, I know, like, the famous Rambam, of course. I'm just asking if, like...
Where it's learned out from?
No, yeah, in other words, the maisa doesn't really... It's just interesting, but it doesn't really matter, as far as I can tell. I mean, you want to say non-Jew who's mechuyev in it, but the maisa, I'm not sure. But
I think the philosophy of the halacha and development of the mitzvah itself has implications to other cases. Will it have an? We possibly, you know, mal v'lo para is not considered mila, but you know the binyan sion's question, right? He doesn't relate it to this. I recently heard another. I think it was reported in the name of Russia Weiss, but I didn't see it inside, so I don't want to assign it myself to that. But what about somebody who, forget Mila, he wants to go ahead and convert. So he's learning about Shabbat. Okay, he's a non-Jew. He's learning about Shabbat. Can he keep Shabbat?
Yeah, so that's a machloket.
Right. So if you take the approach that it's not like a you know, pardon the pun, but it's not like a cut here. You're a non-Jew and you're a Jew, but there's an evolution to it. He's starting to nichnas the bris. He's not there yet. So perhaps he can also keep Shabbat. Perhaps he can also learn Torah because he's not learning it b'toras ger, he's learning b'toras somebody who wants to convert. So it's an evolutionary process. I agree with you that whether we learn it out from here or there might not have direct implications to the mitzvah of Mila or how we do it, but it might have meta halachic implications when you extrapolate it to other.
I mean, again, yeah, I would have to do a little bit with, you know, what's the status of the Torah before Matan Torah, really, which is philosophically interesting. I don't know. Do you know, does anybody argue on the Rambam? I've asked other people before. The Rambam, it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's famous only because, you know, people know it's in, like, Perisha Mishnah and Chulin. Who in the world would normally come across Perisha Mishnah and Chulin? You know what I'm saying? Like, people know it because we've made it famous or semi-famous. But I don't know, does anybody argue on the Rambam?
I mean, people think Perisha Mishnah for the Rambam is only philosophy, because, like, that's the only ones that people learn.
Who today learns Perisha Mishnah of the Rambam? I mean, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein thought it was the most important, I think, parshanut on the Mishnah, but that was in the part to learn. Then the Kahati, you know, that knocked everybody off. So
does anyone argue on the Rambam in terms of?
I'd say that it's not true. The mitzvot don't have to emanate from Sinai. In other words, his formulation in Perisha Mishnayos and Chulin, which is very stark and very strong. You know, nothing. We don't do Mila because Abraham. We don't do Gita Neshe because Yaakov. I don't know. I don't think that's the way Jews think. I think if you ask a typical Jew, even your typical learned Jew, why to do Brit Mila, he's not going to tell you because God told Moshe at Har Sinai. He's going to tell you because Avraham Avinu, Kasher Tzivah to Elohim, as the Gemara in Kiddushin says. That's what they're going to say. I think. I don't know. I'm asking what you think.
If they learn the Yerushalmi, so then they'll say, what do you mean? You watch me.
You're not aware of anybody who directly argues on the Rambam, because I'm not either. But okay. Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you, everybody. Okay, please God, we'll see you soon. We'll see you in shul soon. And hopefully we'll see everybody else even sooner on the online. Please God, my shir tomorrow morning on the Siddur, 9 o'clock. We should finish Eizem Akoman. It's been, going through slowly the Siddur, very meaningful book that we don't study often enough. And, as I can say, I'm gaining a tremendous amount from giving the shir. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. Rabbi Liebtag at 11:15 on Sunday will be starting, doing two parts on Tehillim and Magid, and, continue really through the week. Next week, most of the shirim will be Pesach related. Mark Shapiro's regular class Monday night on Reform, the traditional response Reform, I guess, will not be, and I guess my class on the Siddur will not be, about the last of Eizem Akoman ends at Korban Pesach. So we will have an opportunity to tie it into Pesach a little bit. And okay, we look forward to learning with you. Alan was asking about our post-Pesach schedule. Who's thinking about post-Pesach now? It's not even Rosh Chodesh yet. So anyway, so please God, that will be coming up soon. And okay, we look forward to learning with you. And please invite a friend. And thank you very much. Laila Tov and Shabbat Shalom. And thank you again, Rabbi Avinair. Laila Tov.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Chodesh Tov. Yes. A triple header this Shabbos. 3 Sefer Torah. For those who haven't been to shul recently, I forgot myself it was 3 Sefer Torah. I'm thinking, too, oh, no, forget, like Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Parsha, and Chodesh.
This is called Cinnabon.
I'm sorry. Anyways. All right. Enjoy, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.